from God our Father, his beloved Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit who calls us into fellowship. In last week's message, we talked about how God has established his kingdom on earth and how the agenda of this kingdom is to wage war against evil. And we talked about that in length last week, that the reason why God comes into our world is to wage war against evil. And the first thing he did was to give us the Ten Commandments to help us understand the difference between good and evil. Well, in today's gospel, we find a continuation of this subject as Jesus is addressing the calamities that will befall Israel and also the whole world leading to his appearing. Some had carried the idea that this discourse found in the Gospel of Luke 21 was for Israel only. We can all disagree with that notion because inasmuch as he was addressing the people of Israel in this text, there are prophetic events mentioned here that is yet to be fulfilled, such as will impact the entire world. So the first be on the watch, which is found in the passage found in Luke 21, verse 36, our gospel reading this morning says, always be on the watch and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen. This is not a statement intended only for the children of Israel, but for all of us today. The church needs to be watching and praying. The church of Jesus, I want to emphasize this, need to be watching and praying. There is a need to watch and pray because one of Satan's biggest, his biggest scheme today is distractions. Distractions is what the devil is using. This is his biggest tool. Because once he's able to get us distracted, then he is able to cause us to begin to pay attention to things that are not necessary. We find that in the Garden of Eden, when he went there and had this conversation with Eve, the primary purpose of that conversation was to distract her attention away from what God said and cause her to start doing things that were wrong. We see that when he went on the mount and met Jesus Christ during a time when he was fasting. And he says, if you be God, then turn these stones into bread and eat. The purpose for that was to distract him from paying attention to the real purpose for being out there. It is what he does in the life of every person. On a continuous, consistent basis, when we rise from our beds in the morning and put our 2 feet down on the floor, the first thing is the evil one is there, and his plan is to distract us from seeing or understanding what the will, purpose, or plan of God is for us for that day. And he does that every day. And so here are some of the tools that he uses in the process. He uses self. All right? He uses money. He uses our hobbies. He uses relationships. He uses science, you know, and technology. All these things, the devil use all of these things to try to distract us. But all of these things I just mentioned were all created by God and are needed in our world today. But unless we align with God, we will never be able to use these things properly. So we read in the book of Malachi chapter 1 verse 11, all right, giving you an example of technology. That it is designed by God. We read in this text, it says, my name will be great among the nations, and from where the sun rises to where it sets, in every place, incense and pure offerings will be brought to me, because my name will be great among the nations, says the Lord Almighty. What is God talking about when he says that his name will be great amongst the nations? How is that going to happen? Well, we find it today through technology.
People hear the word of God all around the world through technology. We can watch the name of Jesus being a telecast, a broadcast, because of this very text. So when God said that, it's exactly what he's talking about. And look in Ecclesiastes 1 verse 10. It says, is there anything of which one can say, look, this is something new? It was here already. Long ago, it was here before our time. So what is telling us that what seemed to be new to us today is not new. It was here long ago. What man is doing is he's exploring God's creation. We're discovering what God had created a long time ago. So every time something new comes up, the scripture's letting us know it is not new. God brought it forth long time ago when he said, let there be. And the only thing man is doing is trying to develop what God had already created. Man is trying to explore what God had already created, is what the text is telling us. So there is nothing new on the earth. Today, through science and technology, a lot of folks have walked away from God and think that science has the answer or technology has the answer to life. But today we come to learn that all of these things were created by God. And the only thing man has done is went and tried to find out what God has created. That's all we've done. And that's why the Bible says that the wisdom of man is foolishness to God. It's foolishness because no matter how advanced we think we've gotten, we've not even tapped into an inch of God's wisdom. This is what the text is telling us this morning. So we have to first be conscious about what God is saying about our world, all right? And when we talk about this, we're talking about what it was when it was created, what it is now, and where it is going. These are things that the church needs to be concerned about. And we need to understand that it was God who created our world. When we read in the book of Genesis, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It lets us know in that first verse that everything begun with God. In the beginning, God, not man, not anything else, but God in the beginning. That's where it all started. We have to also come to the point of understanding where it is now. Where is our world? And in this context, we cannot just flow with anything that comes. We have to understand where it is and what God is saying about it. And the next thing is we need to understand where it is going. But the conclusion of this is that this world is going to hell. This world is on her way to hell. And that's why Jesus came in to save us from that peril. To save us from that destruction is why he came and went on a cross and died to bring us redemption, my friends. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, the only one who was able to redeem us, the only one who was worthy of that task, went on the cross and died and shed his blood to bring man back into fellowship with God and save us from this peril. It's what the evil one wanted to do, but God said, no, this is not going to happen. I'm going to rescue them. So from our gospel text this morning, let's together look at how we need to be on the watch. The first thing is the sign of the end times. It's how we need to be on the watch, looking for the signs of the end times. The scripture says in Luke 21, verse 29 through 31, it reads, he told them this parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. When the sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that the kingdom of God is near. What is the text talking about when you see these things? If you have the chance and you go home, you have some time, I will recommend that you read the beginning verses of Luke 21 coming down and see some of the things that the scripture is talking about, because Jesus addressed those things. A lot of things are happening in our time and age that we need to be very aware of. One of those things is the fact that we have many false teachers today who, and you can find that in 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. It talks about us having many false teachers today in the world, and they're teaching things that are so far removed from God. And they are telling people stories that would just itch, to satisfy their itching ears, the Bible says. And they're not hearing the truth of the word. They're not hearing that only the gospel is able to save. Nothing else can save us. What can wash away our sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ. It is only his blood. It is only through the cross that man can have eternal life. And I sat by my television the other day listening to a minister on the television. And the whole time I sat there, I did not hear the name of Jesus one time. I did not hear about the cross one time. I did not hear about the blood one time. My friends, it is the blood of Jesus. It is the cross of Christ. It is the cross. It is the name of Jesus. There is no name under heaven by which man can be saved but the name of Jesus Christ. And at the sign of that name, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that he is Lord. So men are teaching false doctrines today. We find men being lovers of themselves. These are signs that we look for. In 2 Timothy 3, verse 2, it talks about this. The men will be lover of themselves rather than lover of God. Do you find that today? We live in a time now where folks believe that, you know, whatever pleases them is what they do. People do not follow God's laws and commands anymore in our time and age. People do what pleases them. That's the time we find ourselves in. And this is the reason why everything that is wrong has been made right. You have the gay rights and the this right and the that right so that it will sound good, because it is what people do today. Folks, we've walked away from the truth. And man is walking in his own ideas. Man is walking in his own feelings and likeness. We've walked away from the likeness of God and the love of God. And the scripture is talking about these are things that we need to be looking at. Whenever you rebuke someone about something wrong, they say, you're judging me. Are you judging me? Who are you to judge me? But the word of God is the standard by which we do these things. These are the things that we look at. The next thing is the Bible talks about earthquakes in different places. Have you seen that? It has happened and it continues to happen. And we're seeing how people are dying when this stuff takes place. And we find this text in Matthew 24, verse 6. It talks about tsunami as well in Luke 21, verse 25. It talks about nation will be in anguish and at the tossing of the sea. And we're seeing this happen in our time and age. It talks about many wars that will be fought in Matthew 24, verse 6. Wars in many places. It talks about wickedness increasing, the law of God forsaking in the land. Matthew 24, verse 12. And you all know about how there are folks out there today who are fighting against the Ten Commandments being placed in public places. They want to take them down. They have fought against the Bible being in schools. They're fighting against these things, the things that are right. Those foundations on which this country was established are being torn down. And the church stands by and look at it, and we agree with these ideas. This is time for us to begin to be on the watch, the scriptures is warning us. It talks about cold religious system, a form of godliness in 2 Timothy 3, verse 5. The people are just having a form of godliness and denying the power of God. That we need to walk away from that. We need to be watchful for these kind of things, these kind of signs. It talks about deadly disease in Matthew 24, verse 7. And we see that. You see AIDS. You see cancer. You see Ebola. You see these things that are plaguing our world today. These are things that the scripture talked about that would happen. It talks about the decrease in marriage. We see that in 1 Timothy 4, verse 3. People will live together but not get married. and dishonor God in the process. Even Christians are doing that. And they don't find any problem with that. God's word speaking against these things. The possession of Jerusalem as at the center of national turmoil today. Everybody's talking about Jerusalem. It was prophesied in Zechariah chapter 12, verse 3. And we see these things happening. The increase of wisdom in the world in Daniel chapter 12, verse 4. It talks about how people will be looking for circular wisdom, going here and there to find it. We believe in all of the systems that have been set up by man and deny the system that was set up by God long ago. And we find these things happening in our times. That's the signs of the end time. Let's look at the safety for the end times. In Luke 21, verse 33, he says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Look at it. This is the word of God now, folks. Nothing can save us. Nothing except the word of God. In the time we're living in, the word of God has been through a lot. Since Jesus came, the word of God has been through a lot and is still standing today. They tried burning it and they overcame the fire. They tried crucifying it and they overcame the cross. They tried burying it. It overcame the grave. They tried silencing it. It overcame the prison. The word of God is still standing today. It has been tested and proven to be the only word that lives forever. This is our ark of safety. If the church is going to be saved, if the church is going to be secured, we can never be saved or secured by humanistic ideas. The only thing that saves the church is the living word of God. The only thing that saves the Christian is the living word of God. The only thing that can save a nation is the living word of God. And this is the reason why we here at Holy Nativity, we stand on the scripture alone, and nothing else is going to penetrate our church but the word of God. That's what God has planted in our hearts. Give God a hand of praise this morning. We stand on the word in a time like this because it is the only security that the church has. So we talk about the signs of the end times. We talk about the safety for the end times. Lastly, let's talk about the stands for the end times. Look in Luke 21:34. It said, be careful or your hearts will be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and anxieties of life. And that day will close on you suddenly like a trap. This is a call to guide our hearts. The scripture is telling us to guide our hearts. Don't become swallowed up in the clouds of this temporal life. To guard our hearts. Because today there are too many things in the world that is demanding our attention. There are too many things in the world today that people are craving and running after. The Bible is telling us in a time like this that the church needs to guard her heart. The phrase guard your heart is a call to personal conviction. Listen, personal conviction and personal attention. This is not a time for us to be looking at the next person and seeing how he or she is living out her faith. This is a time for us to be looking at the cross, one person at a time. Looking at Jesus, the scripture says, looking at him as the author and the finisher of our faith. Today we live in a stereotype world, and everybody wants to see what everybody is doing. And so long as everybody is doing it, it is okay. My friends, that's not how we call right, right, and wrong, wrong, by looking at the next person. We see right by looking at the cross of Jesus Christ. It becomes right when we keep our eyes on him. And it takes one person at a time. It's a personal decision. I'm not a Christian because my mother became a Christian. I'm not a Christian because my father became a Christian. I'm not a Christian because my friend became a Christian. I am a Christian because Jesus saved me. He saved me when he died on the cross and brought me into faith. And I have to live out this Christian life on my own. And this is what it is. It is a personal conviction. It is a personal attention. The phrase, guard your heart, is also a call to a particular direction. And that particular direction is the cross on which Christ died. We don't go in whatever direction we want to go. We don't find God in every religion. The God that we seek is the God of the Christian faith. The God that we seek is the God who died on the cross. The God that we seek is the God who was buried in the grave, and after 3 days, he came back to life and defied death. It's the God that we serve. It's the God that we worship. It is because of him that we sit in here this morning. We come because no other help we know but him. He is the only one that is able to cleanse us from our sins and set us free. Because the scripture says, if the Son have set you free, you are freed indeed. And this morning, as we receive the engrafted word of God upon our hearts this morning, and it's my prayer, as you receive these words this morning, it'll encourage you in your faith and keep you steadfast, knowing always, listen, that God will never bring you this far and leave you. God will never teach you to swim and let you drown. He won't build his home in you and move away or lift you up and let you down. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and all God's people say, amen.